Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This first day of Lent and the whole Lenten season coincides beautifully with our review of the book of Revelation and especially with the letter we have before us this evening to the angel of the church in Sardis. As we focus on self-examination and reflection, the urgency of repentance, and the zeal of the Lord God for our salvation, we see those very themes emphasized throughout this book of Revelation and throughout this letter. For the pastor in Sardis, there is no word of praise from Jesus, only a stern warning, which we all do well to take to heart. Be sure to have more than just a reputation of being alive. Jesus reminds the pastor of the church in Sardis that he is the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Back in chapter 1, we identified the seven spirits who were before the throne of God as the Holy Spirit with his sevenfold gifts, which he always gives in just the right measure. Here, Jesus says that he has the seven spirits of God. He is the one who sends the Spirit to his churches and distributes his gifts to whomever he pleases. He is also the one who has the seven stars, remember, in his right hand, which were identified in chapter 1 as the seven angels, or pastors, of the seven churches. Jesus is the sender of pastors. They're meant to be gifts to his churches. Like stars in the sky, they shine the light of Christ in their preaching. And the Holy Spirit then does his work through them. Also, like stars, they are to be fixed in place, not wandering about in their teaching like the planets wander across the sky. Their doctrine and their life are to be solid and dependable. Since Jesus holds them in his hand, he has the power to protect them and the authority to remove them, if necessary. When Jesus tells this pastor that he knows his works, this time it isn't a good thing. I know your works, that you have a name for being alive, and you are dead. A name for being alive. If you notice, the word name is used four times in these six verses. Here it refers to the pastor's name as in his reputation. People think of him as being alive, but he is really dead. They think he's alive, a true believer in Christ Jesus who shares in the spiritual life that comes from God, whose name is surely written in the book of life. But Jesus knows the truth. This pastor is dead on the inside, dead in trespasses and sins. He's become an empty suit, an empty shell. He says the right things, mostly does the right things, but he's just going through the motions. On the inside, he isn't penitent, he isn't believing. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So he's given an urgent warning: be watchful and strengthen the remaining things that are about to die, for I have not found your works complete before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Be watchful, he says, because you haven't been. You've let earthly concerns and selfish thoughts slip in and take the place of Christ in your heart. You've allowed yourself to fall asleep. Snap out of this spiritual stupor and strengthen the bits and pieces that remain, because even they are about to die. What remains? Well, that would include his knowledge of Scripture and of the duties of his office. He's lost the trust part of faith, but he still has the knowledge part. He's lost the appreciation of God's grace to him, a poor, miserable sinner. He's lost the heartfelt love for God that accompanies faith. But he still has a knowledge of Scripture. He still knows the law and the gospel. He knows what he has received and heard from the apostles. And now Jesus is sending his powerful Spirit in the words of this letter to turn that pastor back to what he already knows, what he has heard, to what he himself has undoubtedly preached time and time again, to acknowledge his sins, to repent and to trust in Christ for forgiveness and to fulfill the duties of his vocation. The warning is sealed with a threat. If you do not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. Now we notice that Jesus isn't expecting the congregation in Sardis to get rid of their pastor, or even to rebuke their pastor. They can't see what's on the inside. They can't see that he is really dead. Jesus is the one who sees it, and Jesus is the one who will come upon him, that is, come against him in his own time and in his own way. The pastor's deadness has obviously had a negative effect on this congregation. His preaching has obviously been affected by his spiritual emptiness. There are a few left there, Jesus says, who have not defiled their garments. Still, whatever gospel still remained in his preaching was effective. The gospel is effective even when it's preached by an unbeliever, just as the sacraments are still valid even if they're administered by an unbeliever. And the gospel that was still present in his preaching preserved that remnant in Sardis. Jesus says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The pastor's name was deceptive, a name for being alive, although he was actually dead. These few names, these few souls among the laity in Sardis were genuine believers. They hadn't soiled or defiled their garments. They hadn't jumped into the common practices that Jesus has been upbraiding of fornication and idolatry. They hadn't fallen into willful sin or wandered away from the faith or lost their love for God and for one another. Whatever sins they had committed, they were penitent. They were sorry. They were repentant. And so they hadn't fallen away. And Jesus says that by faith they were already counted righteous and pure before God, symbolized by garments undefiled. And then he promises here that they will walk with him in white. If they overcome, they will spend eternity with him in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, as we say in the Catechism in the second article of the Creed. For they are worthy, he says, not worthy because they were sinless in their lives, but worthy because they persevered in repentance and faith. As for the one who overcomes, he will be clothed in white garments. Again, those who overcome, who keep their garments undefiled, who persevere in repentance and faith, are all promised white garments or white robes. That is a permanent state of sinlessness in heaven, without the possibility of ever falling back into sin and shame. He also promises this: I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This book of life comes up several more times in the book of Revelation. It's God's figurative book that contains all the names of those who have been incorporated into Jesus by baptism and faith. Now, there are other books too. The books of works, that is, the thoughts and the words and the deeds of all men. And since those works are all tainted by sin, those who are judged by the books of works will be condemned. But God will cross-reference the names there with the names written in this other book, in this book of life. And if your name is found there on the last day or on the day of your death, then you will be safe. And not only safe, but Jesus will confess those names before his Father and before the holy angels. This one is mine. This one believed in me. And I claim him and her as my own. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So what in particular on this first day of Lent should we take to heart from this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis? Well, first, any pastor who preaches on this text had better do some serious soul searching. Do I believe what I preach? Do I have a genuine trust in Christ and a sincere love for him and for his flock? At best, the answer will be an imperfect yes. But that imperfect yes is still the difference between being alive and being dead. And it is obviously a relatively common thing for a preacher to become an empty shell of a Christian, or Jesus wouldn't have dedicated one out of these seven books to this theme. Or two out of seven, if you count the last one to the church in Laodicea. Preachers must examine themselves, even as Jesus surely examines each and every one of them. But we still have to be careful not to become the judges of any preacher, that is, the judges of anyone's heart. As if we could crawl into their heart and see whether they're truly alive or dead, whether they truly believe in the Lord or not. Here, as elsewhere, we have to put the best construction on everything and assume the best about those who outwardly confess Christ. We can judge false doctrine or sinful practices, but we can't judge false faith or false motives. That we have to leave up to the one who searches the innermost thoughts and hearts. Of course, what is said of the pastor in Sardis could also be said about everyone who claims to be a Christian, who has a name for being alive. Every Christian, Paul writes, is called on to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. You should all be doing that regularly, weekly, certainly before you go to receive Holy Communion. And that's one of the purposes of this Lenten season, for all of us to remember to do that on a regular basis. And if you're having trouble examining yourself to see whether you're in the faith, testing yourself, you do have a pastor who can help you to examine yourself, as a doctor examines a patient by asking certain questions and providing a diagnosis based on your responses. In fact, that's one of the main purposes both of confirmation, when you become a member of a church, and also of private confession, where you can continually come and seek the pastor's help in your spiritual self-examination. As for the promises Jesus makes here about the white garments he'll provide and the names written in the book of life and confessed before his Father in heaven, let those promises spur you on to keep struggling against your sinful flesh, to keep fighting the good fight of faith, to keep your garments undefiled, and to keep living at odds with the world, at odds with our corrupt culture, and to remain faithful until the end, faithful unto death. Those blessed saints who do that will walk with Christ in glory. May our names be counted among theirs. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.